Well, if you got your Bibles, get your Bible out tonight and go to the book of 2 Samuel, Old Testament. Man, I got my old Bible with me tonight. I can't see anything on that page. The print shrank. Hate it when it does that. Book of 2 Samuel, Old Testament. Did I tell you where? 2 Samuel 22, I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here reading it. And 2 Samuel 22. Man, I was reading the Word this morning. You know, I love to read the Word. And every morning I get up and I read. And I don't read a whole lot. I read 4 or 5 chapters. But I just ask God to just, you know, I want a nugget. I want something. You know, I'm like a chicken out scratching for that, you know, that piece, that nugget. I just get in here and I want to see something fresh and new every day. I want to see something that I've never seen before. And so I have a lot of different Bibles, old Bibles, like this one. The cover's fallen off of it, and I super glued the binding back on it because I didn't want to get rid of it. And I just pick them up, and this morning I was reading here, and I just saw this. I started laughing. You find yourself here in 2 Samuel 22 at the story of King David about the end of his life. So you're talking about a guy. We're talking about the same guy that killed the giant, right? We're talking about a guy that was chased, a guy that did nothing wrong, and the king always wanted to kill him. Now, you know you got problems when your job is to work for the king, and every day you come in to work for the king, he's throwing a spear at you trying to kill you. You know you're getting up in the morning going for target practice. And you're the target. Huh? That's tough, Frankie. When you know you're going to get up, and as soon as you walk out, you're target practice. But I want you to know, every day, every one of us are target practice. Hello? The Bible says we got to take up the shield of faith that we can extinguish all the fiery darts that the devil's going to send our way. The devil's going to throw stuff our way. He's going to chunk stuff our way. It's going to happen. But the good news is Jesus said, in John 16:33, he said, man, I've already overcome the world. I've already beat it. There is no fight. I think of it like this. You know, I never did this. I just heard of people doing this before. You know, like rolling up a spitball in a straw. I'll tell you how rotten I am. When I was a kid and I was a junior, and I shouldn't say this. I should never say this. Somebody will do it. Everybody that's still in school, you got to hold your ears. I used to put ants in my Bic pen, take it out, and shoot ants across the room. Crawl in the room and then watch it, you know, get on somebody, and then watch somebody freak out, a girl especially. It was just the greatest, you know. I was rotten. Got sent to the office, got licks for that kid a bunch of times, so don't be doing that. But anyway, the enemy comes out there, and he's like that. He's shooting little stuff at us. He's doing things to irritate us. He's doing things just, it ain't going to kill you unless you let it. Nobody's been mortally wounded with a spitball. Right? But that's what the enemy does. He wants to just irritate you. He wants to just do things. And so here's David every day as a young man. He had to go to work for the king. And as he went into the room, Saul would sit there and then look at him, and he'd get a spear. I mean, I don't know why he showed up, but he'd get a spear and you know, I guess he was a good dodger. I don't know, because he kept living till finally he left. And, you know, then Saul chased him all his life, tried to kill him. You know, that was his life of trying to get killed all his life. So at the end of his life, he's writing this. This is like his last will and testament right here. And it starts here in 2 Samuel 22 and 23, and it goes through here. And so he's saying what he's learned at the end. I know one thing. I'm a lot smarter today than I was when I was 20. I don't move near as well, but I'm smarter. All right? And so David here at the end, he says something here. Now, start in verse 29. I'm in 2 Samuel 22, 29. He says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." See, there's no way you're not going to walk through some darkness. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is not perfect. We live in a world that has got people that don't love Jesus in it. We got to live in a world that some people that do love Jesus are crazy. The truth. I'm crazy sometimes. At least that's what my wife said. But the point is that there's going to be some darkness. But he says, wait a minute. He says, you are my lamp, O Lord, and you're going to lighten my darkness. For by thee. Now, I've got a King James here, so yours might say by you. But for, what does it say? What do you got up there? For by you, I can run against the truth. See, not by me. Not by my strength, not by my ability, not by my smarts, not by my savvy, not by my determination, my dedication. No, not by me. That's where I think we all fall short, is we're trying to do everything in life and live our Christian life by our strength and our ability. And folks, I want to tell you something. If we're going to live by me or by you, you're going to fall short. But if you're living by him and you get up every day and say, Lord, I ain't going to make it today. Man, no way I'm going to get through this thing. Before the days are with the spit wads that have hit me are going to be cluttered up around my head and my face, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to do something stupid. If you just start out that way that day and say, Lord, I can't do it. But by you, you can show me how to dodge them. By you, I can run through a troop. By you, I can. What is the next thing he says here? Leap over a wall. Y'all with me? I can barely jump out of the back of my truck, much less leap over a wall. You know, but metaphorically speaking here, he's saying, look, you're going to come against some obstacles in life. You're going to come against some things that can't work. Matter of fact, if you go back in, I think it's in chapter 21, David almost gets killed trying to fight a giant. And one of his mighty men had to come and rescue him. So he found a wall he couldn't quite leap over, but his buddy came and helped him. Huh? So why we need to be in fellowship with one another. That's why we need brothers and sisters in Christ. Why we need each other. Because you just might be getting whipped on by a giant and need some help. Hello? I mean, I don't want to admit that, but that is the truth. I'd like to say, ta-da, Superman, I can do anything. But the truth of the matter is, all of us, no matter who we are, can slip and fall. All of us, no matter who we are, can get our foot caught in a trap that we weren't thinking was there. Right? I remember when I was a kid, we lived on a ranch, and my sister and I, we ran a trap line because that's where we could, you know, back in those days, hides could bring us good money, and that's the way we made our money. And my sister was always just, my sister's older than I am. I don't have a brother. I just got a sister. And so she's 4 years older than me, just yakking all the time. Never would listen to me. I was a little brother. She's always telling what to do. And we're out setting traps. And I'd say, well, this looks like a good spot. She'd say, I think it's better over here, you know. And so I was mad. And I'd set the trap. It was a leg hole trap. And I'd set the trap. And I was putting it on there. And she was just yakking. And she made me mad. And I slapped the dirt on the trap. And the trap snapped and caught my hand. So now I'm in serious trouble because I can't get the trap undone and she ain't going to help. So I have to start sweet talking her to come over there to help me get this thing off my hand. And I learned a lesson that day. The lesson was, is don't be mad setting traps. Right? And so, you know, the thing is in life, you're going to come against things in life. You're going to come against things that are going to make you mad. You're going to get trouble. The devil's going to get you over in somewhere you shouldn't be. And that's why you got to have a brother to come help you. That's what happened to David. He says, look at verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. Now, I want to give you a secret tonight. Because I don't know where I'm going to go with this message, but I'm going to give you a secret tonight. There may be a whole bunch of secrets as I drag the message out, because now I get to be a preacher. See, over there the other night, y'all were trapped, and I was having to follow a script. I'm not now. Yeah. So I just can go do anything. The first secret to walking with God is you've got to come to an understanding that His way is perfect. There can be no problem on His side. I've gone to Him before, knocked on the door of the throne, walked in and said, Father, I hate to tell you, but you've missed something over here. This ain't going right. This is not the way it's supposed to be happening. Look, do you see that? What are you doing? Have you fallen off the throne? What's going on? Have y'all ever prayed a prayer like that? Oh, you holy, righteous people. Said, y'all wouldn't admit it anyway if you had. Right? But I think all of us at times have come to a place where we want to go up and say, surely you didn't get the memo. Lord, what in the world is going on? Right? But you got to come to the place, the secret for walking with God is you got to come to an understanding is that God's way is perfect. And we may have to be the ones that adjust, or there needs to be an adjustment somewhere, but it's not coming from the throne. It's not on His side. Hello? Right? It's not on His side. It's on our side. If His way is perfect, then it can only mean we're the ones that are wrong. And we don't want to admit that. But it is the truth. Okay? Now let's go on here. For as God, His way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried. The word of the Lord's tried. Y'all with me? He says, man, my word has been tested and tried. One of the things I love is if you do read the book of Job and you go into chapters 38, 39, and 40, and 41, 42, right there where God's speaking to Job, and He starts talking to him, and He says, oh yeah, where were you when I created the world? And isn't it funny that sometimes we put ourselves in that place and we're like arguing with God like we know better or we're smarter? I've been there. I still can get there. There's still times I can find myself in my prayers trying to tell God, what are you doing? Right? You know, I've told this story before. It's probably story number 46, but I'll tell it again. When I was working as a carpenter, I was remodeling a house, and it was a two-story house. It was one of these creepy old houses, you know, and you go in there, and everything creaks, and everything's wood, and it hadn't been lived in for years, and cobwebs everywhere. It just looked haunted. And I had this friend, he was my cousin, that worked with me, and he was the spookiest guy you've ever seen in your life, man. You could just start talking about anything. This guy just started getting freaked out about everything, you know. And so I just loved to jack with him, you know, and just mess with his head wherever we were. So I kept saying, man, I think there's a ghost in this house. And I kept telling him this and kept spooking him up. And so I kind of, after a while, I had to quit talking about it myself because I was getting spooked, you know. And so we went up the staircase because we were trying to get an electric cord over of the second story. And so the boss told me to go up the stairs and go get it. Well, nobody had been upstairs yet. So I go up these stairs and it's I'm going up the staircase, and I get up to the top, and I'm looking around, looking for, you know, wondering what's in there, you know, and I'm thinking more like a wild animal, like a coon or a, you know, a bat or something like that's in the house, because ain't nobody been in it forever. And so I walk up to this door, and I reach over, and I grab hold of that doorknob. When I grab hold of the doorknob, instantly, inside of me, it just did not feel right. And so I was like, I might have got myself freaked out or what. And so there was a window there, and I went over to the window, and I tried to look around and see if there was something outside of it, you know, and there wasn't nothing. And so I thought, oh, that's funny. And so I reached over there, and I grabbed that doorknob again. I did this inside of me, just whoop, and I was like, man, something ain't right. So I told my cousin, I said, hey, open that door. See what's on that stuff. And he's like, what's the matter? I said, nothing. I said, just open the door. He says, oh, no, something's not right. Something's not right, you know. So he was all freaked out. So I went over and I said, oh, this is ridiculous. And the boss is hollering, what are you doing? It's open the door. What are we doing? You know, and so we're in a hurry. And so finally I said, I got to open it, you know. And so I reached up and I grabbed that door and I jerked it open. And there was a big old yellow jacket nest on the other side of the thing. And man, they went to flying everywhere. And we were running, fighting those things off and screaming. I got stung on the ear, you know, and on the side of my face a couple of times. And afterwards I started laughing about how I had spooked this whole thing up. But really, there was something dangerous there, and the Lord was trying to tell me. And by the time I got there, I wasn't listening anymore. Right? And so many times in life, we're like, he says, God says, His way is perfect, and the word of the Lord's tried. If I'd have just listened to God, I'd have been right. But I didn't. He's a buckler to all them that trust in him. A shield and a buckler. A buckler is a type of a shield. For who is God save the Lord, and who is the rock save our God? Now look at verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. I want to look at something here. This morning I found a different translation. And it says, God who arms me with strength and power makes my way perfect. I said it just a little different. God who arms me with strength and power makes my way perfect. There's no way we can do it without him. There's no way we can do it without him. If we don't have him, we don't have Jesus in our life, when we start out and everything that we're doing, then we're not going to have the strength, because we already see there's going to be some darkness. There's going to be some walls to climb over. There's going to be some troops to run through. There's going to be some issues. There's going to be some spitballs shot at you. There's going to be some flaming arrows come. There's going to be some issues and things that happen in life, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter how well you prayed up, no matter what you think, it's going to happen. But if we already go out and he's strengthening us for the trial that's coming, for the problem that's coming, if he's strengthening us and he's arming us for strength, right? He arms us with strength and power, and then he makes your way perfect. Makes your way perfect. Now, it goes on here and he says, he makes my feet like the hind's feet. Now, that's not the rear feet. That the hind's is a type of deer. And he sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to war so that I bend a bow of steel. Wow. Wow. I mean, he says, David's sitting here talking. He said, every morning I got up and somebody threw a spear at me. I killed a giant. Darn near got killed by his brother the other day because I was old and I thought I could take him and I couldn't. Would have been for my buddy, he'd have whipped me. And David's sitting here saying, you know what? He says, it's only God who made my way perfect. It's only God who's taught my hands. It's only God who's ordered my feet. It's only God who gives me strength and power and makes my way perfect. See, folks, it's not. We've got to get out of the mentality. It's not that we live a life that we never have a problem. When I first started out my walk with Jesus, I thought that I could, because now I'm in with him, that I wouldn't have a problem. And then the first time I had a problem, I was like, hey, what's up? Are y'all on the job? Where's the angels? And where's all the, what am I having a problem for? You know, we used to live up Highway 127, and that's where our ranch was. And then so whenever we came to church in Utopia years ago, before there was a church building here, we would have, you know, we drove to Sabinal, and then from Sabinal we drove up, you know. And we had this car, and it was a good car. There wasn't anything really wrong with the car, but I remember this one morning I went out. We were all excited to go to church, and went outside and I had a flat tire. So I was like, okay. I'd seen it early enough, so I'll fix the tire. So I went outside and I jacked up, put a spare on, got a spare on, said, okay, we're still going to go to church. I went back inside the house, and the little oven that we cooked the toast in had caught on fire. And I said, well, this is ridiculous. And then what was something else was wrong that morning? Something else, another appliance or something, wasn't it? The dryer broke. Yeah, we're trying to dry some clothes right quick. And so I said, well, get some other clothes. We're going. And so then it became a battle. Like, we're going to get to church. I don't care what's going to happen. So then we get in the car, so we're coming down the road, and this buzzard from hell comes from nowhere, man. I mean, on an assignment from hell to hit us and comes down, flying in, swoops down, hits the car, pukes all over it. Huh? Yeah, yeah. Then right after that, we dodge a buzzard. I said, this is the most ridiculous day in the world. And I'm praying like, God, do you see? Where is anybody? Is anybody on the job in heaven today? I go a little farther, and this big old hog runs right across the road. We slam on the brakes. You know, the kids are in the back, and those are, you know, it's so funny. Nowadays, again, this is not something to adhere to, But, you know, nowadays we got car seats for everything. Our kids are just thrashing around the back of the car, you know. Slam on the back seat, just roll to the front and hitting the floorboard. You say, you all right, Becker, you know. Throwing the kids around the car, we're going up there, flying up there, and the horse was out. Remember, I had to stop and get the stupid horse, my horse, back in. He was out on the road. So we got the horse back, and I'm like, ah. So I'm saying, we're going on, man. So we're going down the road, you know, and it's just like this one obstacle for next for us to get to church. But we made it. We made it. We overcame, stood there. I don't know what the preacher said. I have no earthly idea what went on. I just felt like I had run the marathon to get to church. I made it, and I thought, victory is mine. Right? I don't know what we sang. I didn't feel like God touched me or nothing in the service, but bless God, I just overcame. It was like the devil said, you're not going to make it, and I did, and so I beat him. I just was happy to get to church. You guys cannot believe how many times from sabbing out of here we broke down. Different things happen. All right? It was a challenge just to get to church. But I kept thinking everything should have been perfect. Instead of realizing that God said, no. In the midst of all of that, just look for me, and I'm going to make it perfect. I'll be there. I'll arm you for strength. I'll arm you for battle. Look to me rather than looking to see why it wasn't going right. I was looking in the wrong place. And then when I got to just laughing about things, you know, the buzzard, you know, and I was like, you can't get me, I'm ass. Right? We brought a brand new car, first new car we'd ever had in our life, little red Toyota Corolla. Man, we're so proud of this thing. This thing, like, was a magnet attraction to wild animals. It was like at the Toyota plant, they put a scent in this car that said, hit me. We were so proud of this thing, and we were headed down. I came right over Clayton Hill, just zipping along, and a buck jumped out right in front of me. I had the praise and worship music turned on. I think I'd been over to the jails. I was preaching over the jails or something, and I was coming back, had the praise and worship music on. Man, it's going good, and it's rocking out with the Lord. And I was like, boom! Man, just destroyed the front end of this car. Y'all remember this? I got back, you know, limped into town and just tore it all up, my brand new car. We got that sucker fixed, and 3 weeks later, another deer hit us. Rabbits would just commit suicide. They would, like, see us and say, hey, here he comes, go for it. And they just run out in front of us, boosh, hit the car. Coons, family of them, just wait for us. Let's get them. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous, was it not? I mean, I have all of the vehicles I've ever owned in all of my life. You total up everything that I've ever hit. We hit it more in that one car. My daughter left right over here when we lived in the church parsonage. She was over here. We drove out right down there before she got to the bridge. An Axis buck jumps and hits his horns and crashes right into the driver's side window. It was ridiculous. Funny, I told her, I said, we got to get rid of this car. This car is a death trap. We did. We got rid of it finally. Dear Lord, hadn't hit anything since, praise God. But I don't know what it was. That sucker was red. I ain't never buying a red vehicle again. It was red. I'm convinced it had something to do with it, man. And I remember praying all the time, Lord, what is going on? The point is that I kept thinking I was supposed to pray to make everything perfect, that I never had a problem. Not being like David sitting back here who got a spear thrown at him every day and said, Lord, you make all my ways perfect. You give me strength and arm me for battle. It's you, Lord, that gives me the endurance to walk through everything that comes my way. It's you, oh God, that's right here with me. You see what I'm saying? Folks, that's what we've got to do in life. That's just what we've got to see in life. This is the way we have to change our attitude in life and back our ears and as my father-in-law says, back our ears and dive in and say, hey, here I am, full of God, headed on down the road. Whatever comes, throw it at me. I'm going to win. If I've got to leap on the wall, God will give me strength to leap on the wall. If I got to go run through a troop, I want to run through a troop. But all I can tell you is one thing. God's with me. He arms me for strength. He lets me bend a bow of bronze or a bow of steel. Amen? That's the attitude to have every day. You get through, you're like a dusty warrior at the end of the day. You just come in and set your sword down over at the side of the coffee table there and dust your britches legs off and sit down and, yeah, I better leave it at that. Tell the wife, bring me now. Been out doing battle all day, woman. No, don't do that. That's when I have to do the message on marriage counseling. So. It's another whole series. Y'all with me here tonight? You hear what the Lord's saying? That's the way we got to live. That's the way we got to live through the whole thing in life. And so whatever comes, you know, when you wake up in the morning, say, look, shoot your spit wad today, but I'm winning. Throw whatever you're going to throw, but I'm winning. Shoot me with a fiery dart, just going to get put out. Shoot me the fiery dart, I'll just roast marshmallows. Huh? Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, boy, that's good. Well, praise God. Amen?